Do you want to try this? This is Bess Karelitz and Ruth Weiner. We're interviewing Mr. Ivan Novick at his home. This is December 1st, 1997. Ivan, we're very much interested in hearing about the background of your family. Will you tell us about it?
Well, my father's family, in fact, we're doing a history of the family now, and my daughter-in-law has been working very hard, and we have found that my grandfather on my father's side came here in the early 1880s and became a citizen. I think the year we have is 1891, and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Bernstein from McKeesport, who we don't know, stood up for him for his citizenship, and he came through Philadelphia. You would have asked me this 6 months ago, I couldn't have told you. And then he came originally by himself, and then his family followed. And they were in Pittsburgh.
When you say his family, you mean his wife?
His wife and all the children came, and a brother whose name was David, or Jay, I think it may be Jay, I'm not sure. I think it's Jay. And he went to New York, and we lost track of him. But recently, through a cousin of mine who's living in Florida, who came from Cleveland, their name was Cutler, and Nellie Cutler was a Novick, we found out that she was in constant touch with this uncle of hers in New York through the years, and we never knew it. And part of the reason for that is my dad passed away when I was 9 years old, and so we lost some contact with members of the family for a number of years. We were in the shoe business.
And when you say we, is that your grandfather?
My grandfather, on the Novick side, was in the shoe business. Originally, they tell me, on Butler Street, here in Pittsburgh, and then they moved to Butler. And I understand that my father, Harry Novick, was head of the credit union here in Pittsburgh during very difficult times, and apparently he helped a lot of his fellow Jewish citizens out at that time during the difficult times. But then they moved to Butler, and we were in the shoe business. And my grandfather on the Novick side and my grandmother, Isaac and Ann Novick, he fell off the roof of the building and had an infection in his leg, and he passed away at West Penn Hospital here in Pittsburgh. I think it was 1916. And it's only in very recent years that we discovered that both my grandmother and grandfather on my father's side were buried at the Gates of Wisdom Cemetery. And a very...
Which cemetery is that?
That's right across from the Sheratora.
Oh, yes.
When you go out Route 51.
Yes.
And, and my daughter-in-law found the information by going... We did it two ways. She had a relative who was very active, who had a position in Salt Lake City, which is where they have the, what do you call that, genealogy unit. And they went and they found a tape, a microfilm, and they got to the third wrapping in the microfilm before they found out a little bit about the family, where my grandfather came from and so forth. And
where did he come from?
We're not, it's either the Ukraine or it's Chovna Gubernia. We're not sure which.
It's Lithuania,
right. One of my aunts said Chovna Gubernia, but we're right in the midst of the investigation right now to see specifically, we think it might be Ukraine. But in any event, we don't have the final answer yet. And In any event, we found these two graves, and they're up in the older section. And I went to visit about a year ago, and we found it. Went to visit, and I found that it's really like, it's almost like a miracle. Here in this older section where things are not too good, doesn't get a lot of care, were these two headstones, like by themselves, perfect. Oh. It around everything that was sort of, you know, not as good. And then the most amazing thing happened. The next day there was a terrible storm, and a tree came down and fell across these two tombstones, and I went out, and because I had gone out a second time to show another member of the family where the plots were, and so I called the firm here, starts with a U, I think.
Erbach,
yeah, and they went out and they fixed them for me. Oh. But I think if I have a project that I want to get into now, there are some very prominent names out on the headstones in the cemetery of Gates of Wisdom. And by the way, Sheratoa has started to take care of it.
That's wonderful.
And there's been significant improvement, needs more, but there are some prominent families there, and maybe I can seek them out and maybe we can do something to upgrade the cemetery. So that's on that side.
Well, you didn't talk about Anna, though.
My grandmother?
She lived on after, unfortunately.
She lived on. She passed away in 1935 or 36.
So you knew her well.
I was the first grandson in the Novick family in 11 years. I was the first one who was born and could be named after my grandfather. I was born in Butler, Pennsylvania, 1927, and you're supposed to add there, although you don't look at it.
Although you don't look at it. I'm sorry. Do it again. I'll come in on time.
In any event,
I was just thinking how much younger you are than I.
or how much older we are.
my mother's maiden name was Breeman, the Breeman family from Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
Spell it for me, please.
Capital B-R-E-M-A-N. She was the daughter of Joseph and Ida Breeman. And my mother was about 10 years younger than my father. Not about, was 10 years younger than my father. So my grandmother wanted to name the Isaac after my grandfather, and my mother didn't want that to happen, so I understand I wasn't named till the day of my Brit. And we already had an Irving in the family, and the compromise was Ivan. So that's how it happened. And very, very fortunate. You know, we talk about children and their grandparents today. You read so much about it. So fortunate that my grandmother lived across the street from the grade school that I went to, and every day after school, myself, my younger brother, who was 2.5 years younger, Richard, and my cousins Bobby and Donnie, who lived in Butler, now live in California, moved to California when Bobby was 12. And we used to always go to my grandmother's house every day after school. And she would give me a quarter, and she would give the other 3 10-cents. And I was sworn to secrecy. I could never, ever tell. And we used to have to do family chores, and I would hire the other 3. And I'd give them each a nickel, and I would still have a dime net profit at that time. So many, many years passed, and I don't know if you knew my younger brother, Richard, but he passed away at the age of 45 from polycystic kidney disease. But during his last days, we used to go to lunch at the Encore frequently in Shadyside, and Richard was a very popular guy, and everybody used to call him to go to lunch with him. And this particular day, I called him at 11 o'clock, and he made a lunch appointment with me. By the time I got to the Encore, I picked him up and we got there, there were about 8 other people there, and the table was large. We ended up in the corner almost by ourselves, and the other 6 people talking to each other. So Richard said, you know, Ivan, I think so we're really alone, even though everybody else is here. He says, I've been meaning to ask you a question for almost 40 years. He says, I've always kept it to myself. He says, I must ask you this question. He said, where did you get the money to pay us to do all your work? Can you imagine what stays in the mind of a child?
Yes,
okay?
Yes, yes.
What stays in the mind of a child. The bottom line was that I told him the truth. But I'd never divulged the word all those years. So, but I was the last person to see my grandmother alive. And then I went to her room. She was on the second floor of what I used to call her large stone mansion. And there is something to that that says you can't go home again, because I went back many years later. And, you know, the big stone house is a little house, and it's not what you remember. But any event, I was very fortunate. I would have been more fortunate if they all spoke Yiddish in front of me, so I would learn more Yiddish, but she was a very special lady. So then she passed away, I guess it was 35 or 36, and my father passed away when I was 9. He passed away in 37, so just before I was 10. Okay, he passed away in February 8th of 37, so I had the unfortunate happening of finding him on the bathroom floor when I got up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he was a very special guy, and
so tell us more about him.
He was very successful. Our family was very successful in the shoe business. We were probably the first shoe chain in Western Pennsylvania at that time. My father had 11 brothers and sisters, and his brothers didn't really work. He ran the business. I guess my uncles were the first playboys, certainly in our family. They went to Virginia Beach to play golf in the 30s, so you can imagine what it was like. So, and I remember being in the room, in my grandmother's room, and my father said that, so this had to be 35, 36, and my father said to his mother, they're spending all your money. And you realize that, and her answer was, what's the difference if they spend the money before I leave or after I leave? They'll spend it anyway. And anyway, so after she passed away, he bought out all his brothers, and they all, you know, spread to different parts of the world. And that was January 1st of 37, and unfortunately, 48 days later, he dropped out. And so my mother was a widow at 29, with two children. And with the, I'm sure, the thought process and philosophy at that time, where everything was always for the children, and my mother was a very beautiful woman. She was 5'3½", 106 pounds, and she was really attractive. And she had many opportunities to restructure her life, but she would never do it. She always decided that she would stay with her boys. And subsequently, the business was merged with an uncle, since she had no business experience. And
bankrupt one minute. What was the name of the shoe store?
The Economy Shoe Store. Economy Shoe Store in Butler, Pennsylvania, was the flagship store. There were stores in the communities of Washington, Pennsylvania, and I forget the other communities in Western Pennsylvania. There's a rather large store and on Main Street, and on any given Saturday, there were, I think, as I recall, they used to have about 32 people working in the store. And during the week, they had about 12 to 15. And there were very few young people of the Jewish faith that didn't work in the basement, you know, in the bargain basement of the Economy Shoe Store. And I was in there selling shoes by the time I was 10 years old. And so it was, my dad was an unusual man. He was the president of the synagogue, and he was the president of the Chamber of Commerce in a Rock Rib Republican Presbyterian town. So he was apparently a very special guy. And I was fortunate in that being... He was close to 30 before he got married, and My dad was quite an athlete, and he would take me to all the, he would take me to the golf course, he'd take me to the tennis courts. Tennis was one of his favorites. He played baseball, and he would take me everywhere. And my mother could handle that, but he used to take me also to the Tuesday night poker games. And she, I remember one discussion they had, she said, you don't take a seven-year-old or whatever I was to a poker game. So, but he did. And anyway, he passed away, and the business mother brought in an uncle to help run the business. Not a very intelligent business decision, but...
It was her brother?
It was her brother-in-law.
Her brother-in-law.
Yeah. And it didn't work out, so we sold the business, and we moved to Pittsburgh in 1944. The Bremen side, my grandmother and grandfather on the Bremen side were just like second parents to me. They were just wonderful. And we spent a great deal of time together. And I would have to say that up until that point in time, I would say that the Novick family was very fortunate. I don't think there was any depression in the Novick family, you know, during the 30s. But when things took this change, my dad passed away, and the business was finally sold, and we moved to Pittsburgh. I don't know if you want to hear this or not, but it's... But I came in, and my grandfather, a blessed memory, wonderful man, he sat me down. We moved to East Liberty on Stanton Avenue, and he sat me down the day we came in, the furniture was being moved in, and he said to me, you have to know that you're no longer a young man that has the worth and has a lot of money. Like you did at one time, he says, you're going to have to help your mother, and you're going to have to go to work. And he was telling me the facts of life as they now were, and I guess I was, what, 14, and I became very emotional. I ran out of the house, and I walked down Penn Avenue, and I walked down Negley Avenue to Penn Avenue, and I took a left, and I walked down, and I see a shoe store, Phillips Cancellation Shoes. And I walk in, and I said to the gentleman, I'm very poor, I need a job. And he looked at me, he says, what's your name? He says, I said, Ivan Novick. He said, well, was your father Harry Novick? I said, yes. He said, well, your father was very helpful to me many years ago. He says, I manage this store. His name is Paul Chernoff. He says, I manage a store for a gentleman named David Amstein, who was a relative of the Littles in Squirrel Hill, you know, in the shoe business, and he had a store in Wilkinsburg. And it was called Phillips Cancellation Shoes. So anyway, it must have been about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he gave me a test, and you see, he says, you know as much about the shoe business as I do. So I waited till 9 o'clock. I waited till 9 o'clock, Mr. Amstein came in, and Mr. Amstein was a man of foreign-born man, and he had a heavy accent. And I hear the argument going on, we don't need anybody, we don't need anybody. So I interrupted, and I plead for a job. Bottom line, I got the job. So now, meantime, I haven't been back to the house since 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They've got the police out looking for me, got everybody out looking for me. And I walk in about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I am now employed, I have a job. And that was the beginning. That was my first day in Pittsburgh. And then, and Mr. Amstein and I got along very well. I ended up, because the war was on, I used to work 3 afternoons a week, we'd go in after school, 3 days a week in the evening. And I probably had as much spending money as any young man in the city. I actually helped run the business, and there was a gal in Leipzig, I think it was Isabel Leipzig, Jaime Leipzig's sister. She worked at this, Annabelle, she worked at the store. And anyway, and you know, at that time, she was a ration. My mother took a job at Kaufman's, And again, my mother was offered a job as a buyer at Kaufman's, and which meant she had to travel.
Yes.
And again, she made the decision of the times, and she said, I can't travel because I have two boys at home, and I can't do that. And she took a job as a salesperson. She was the number one salesperson in the department. And you used to get shoe stamps. I don't know if she puts this on tape or not, you know. The ration.
You won't go to prison now.
We won't.
Anyway, well,
go ahead.
I used to take the stamps from the Phillips cancellation store. I'd give them to my mother. The people would line up at Kaufman's. I guess the statute of limitations has gone by. And they'd line up because my mother always had the stamps, so they could always buy shoes. So
I won't put that.
Okay.
It'll be on the tape, but I won't put it.
Anyway, so you know, and that was our introduction to Pittsburgh. I had a wonderful high school career. I really did. It was just wonderful. I had gone to camp with a number of boys. I'd gone to Camp Airy in Baltimore, Maryland. Camp Airy and Camp Louise, I'd gone there when I was about 13, before I was still in Butler. My Uncle David Breeman and Rose Breeman, she was a silverman from Trenum, they had lost a child shortly after she was born, so I remember they took me and my brother to camp. And it was supposed to be a camp, it was run by the Strauss family in Baltimore, they had a department store. It was supposed to be for underprivileged children, okay? I never saw an underprivileged child there. And it was 12 members, $12 a week. And I met all the people from Pittsburgh there. I mean, got people that I became friendly with throughout my life to this very day. And it was just a wonderful experience. And my first love affair was at Camp Louise, with a young lady from Roanoke, Virginia. And that's where Nate Apple was older than I was. He was from Ford City, and he was a very well-known athlete around there. He was one of my counselors. And anyway, it was a great experience. So the one I came back here, and Bobby Stone, Bobby Schlesinger, and Jack Goldsmith, and Saul Gold, and lots of guys, when I came back here, I was living in East Liberty. I was going to Peabody, and all of my friends, half of my friends were from Alderdice. So I'm the only person, I think, that ever went to Peabody, belonged to the Peabody Club, and also belonged to Tau Eta Alpha, a Alderdice fraternity. So I used to, Fine was in that fraternity, and Bobby, lots of guys.
What's the fraternity?
Tau Eta Alpha, T-A-U, Tau Eta, I think I still have the card upstairs. Tau Eta Alpha. I have to take a look on that. Let me make sure I have it correct. But in any event, it was, you know, as I say, I had Bobby Solomon was in that fraternity, the others, and Garfinkel. A lot of great guys. And any event, I had a wonderful high school experience. I really did.
Let me check this to me.
I'll stop there and let you ask the questions you want me to. You know, how you...
All right. You talked about your father, who was... President of the council and also president of
President of the synagogue.
Tell me about the religious atmosphere in the home.
Well, I was our synagogue was an Orthodox synagogue, and our rabbi was a remarkable man, Rabbi Simon April.
Simon April?
April, yes. And a great teacher, and I was sort of, I guess I wasn't too bad in theater and so forth, and I was very fortunate to have been blessed with a very wonderful soprano voice. And by the time I was 11 or 12 years old, I could conduct every service known to man. And I would visit all the small synagogues in western Pennsylvania, and I would chant the service as a favor to everybody, including myself, I guess. So when I was bar mitzvahed, it was a happening. And I conducted the service from the moment it started on Friday night until the moment you finished the Musaf on Saturday. I gave two speeches, one in Hebrew and one in English. The one in English I didn't finish because it was a very emotional speech which included a great deal about my father. I couldn't get through it. But so I gave the speech again at the party mother had at the house that night. So in answer to your question, I had a very intensive religious training. I had a scholarship to be a rabbi. At that time, in small communities, apparently Orthodox rabbis were given the opportunity to pick out a child of their choice. The one before me was Arthur Jaffe, who you may know. And Arthur was also very gifted. And Arthur was going to become a rabbi, and he decided not to. And I also, I had started to study the Talmud and so forth, you know, at the, I was about 14. And then I went on a hayride that summer. And at the conclusion of the hayride, I decided that the rabbinate was not for me. And by the way, it was a unique scholarship. It was 4 years to the yeshiva and 4 years to Columbia. So
yes,
it was a very unique scholarship. So any event, I decided not to become a rabbi. When I subsequently went into the Air Force, I conducted services all over the place for you know, those of the Jewish faith.
You talked about a little bit about your bar mitzvah. Then you came to Pittsburgh. Did you continue with your Hebrew education here?
Actually, I did not.
All right.
I was confirmed in Butler.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so otherwise, mm-hmm. I came here after my confirmation. So when I think 14, I came here in 42. I was about 15. I'd just been confirmed. Yeah, so I continued my education after my bar mitzvah in a very intensive manner until confirmation. And after confirmation is when we moved here. I moved here the summer of... when I was 15. I was 15 in April, that's when we came here.
So it was in 1942, did you say you moved? Because I have 44 here.
42. No, 42.
Okay.
Came here in 42.
Yeah, okay.
In 42. And basically I just, high school consumed all of my time and extracurricular activities between the wonderful club that we had at the Peabody with Billy Katz and Al Lamfran and Harold Ober and the fellows in the printing business. Mel had been in the printing business for many, many years. I can't think of the names. But in any event, we had a wonderful group of guys. And I was very fortunate. I had two groups, one in Alderdice and one in Peabody. And I worked at the shoe store. And so economics were okay because I had a lot of spending money, and it's just wonderful. I had a wonderful high school, 2 years here, and graduated Peabody. And I went out, there was a reunions, the 50-year reunions. I was at Peabody, Butler, and Alderdice. I was at all three reunions, and I remember the Alderdice reunion. It was a great memory because I went there, and toward the end of the evening, I went over to the table where Herb Lurie, Dr. Richard Shapiro, and Hershey Cohn were there. And I said, guys, I'm awfully sorry that I haven't had an opportunity to talk to you until now. It's just been such a busy night. I said, well, we're just talking about you. He said, I want you to know you came in a tie. I said, what's the tie? He says, you, Harold Bigler, and Eddie Goldfarb tied as the guys that looked the best after 50 years.
Ha-ha, that's quite an honor.
So anyway, I'm...
It makes you feel good.
Yeah, I can only tell you that it... as I say, considering some of the circumstances in the 12, 13, 14 years of age, that I was very fortunate in 15, 16, 17 here, in having a wonderful, wonderful experience in school with friends and so forth, who remain my friends to this very day. my, you know, and so that was good. And then I, they at that time, they there's a fellow named Chuck Prine, Charles Prine, at Peabody, whose name is pretty familiar in Pittsburgh. He was a very successful guy. He and I were, I got a wonderful break in the transfer of grades. In Butler, they used to grade you 92 to 100 was A, 88 to 92 was a B. But here, in the city of Pittsburgh at that time, anything from 88 to 100 was an A, and anything from whatever it was satisfactory. And they only had three grades, A, S, and U. And all my grades, which were B's, were transferred to A. So when I came, I had something like 43 A's. And, you know, so I ended up as
genius coming.
I ended up, I think, as
end of tape one, side one, to be continued on the other side.
Which was the epitome of accomplishment. If you could get into a Naval Air Force program, you went to a university, and.